If you have your Bibles tonight, could we turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 7? And this passage of Scripture I want to look at tonight, and we're looking at John the Baptist, looking at him at a very frustrated time in his life. And I don't know if you've ever been frustrated serving God, but somewhere along the way in your Christian journey, you're going to find times where you're a little concerned about what's not happening, or you're concerned about what the state is that you're in. A lot of times God has a whole different plan in store than what we understand. And we can get frustrated because we think things, we like to plan, we like to have an idea how things should be. And we have an idea how obvious it should go. And God should understand what we're thinking about and just do it because it's good. And God looks at us and goes like, oh, come on. Luke chapter 7, verse 18, he says, and John's disciples told him all these things. And Jesus had been in ministry for a while and doing things, and so the disciples come back to him. He's in prison at this point. And when John's disciples had told him all these things, calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord and asked, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? And when the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to ask, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases and sicknesses and evil spirits, and gave many to who were blind. I've lost my place here. Gave sight to many who were blind. There we go. Verse 22. And so he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, and those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Father, tonight, just once again, just touch our hearts through your word. Give us ears to hear tonight what the Spirit would speak through these passages of Scripture that we're going to look at. May you speak to our hearts, Lord, and just touch us tonight. We ask this in your name. Amen. Are you the one? When I hear that question and read it aloud, I think of the frustration that must have been in John's heart. Because we understand as we read a bit of Scripture and as we follow through Scripture and we study Scripture, we find that the Jewish people had this idea of what the Messiah would do. And they looked for a Messiah who would come and restore Israel back to the days of the glory like Solomon had. And so the process as John would have come out of the wilderness with the anointing of the Spirit upon him, a man that was just set afire, as it were, and blazing a path through the Judean hillside and saying, the one that we have waited for is coming, and I am not him, but he is coming. And Jesus comes on the scene and begins to do things, but there's something happening in the midst of this. There's not the political aspect. They're not seeing the change. They're not seeing the sense of the Israel people be lifting off this burden of Rome that's there and beginning of restoration of the nation to a mighty nation again. Because somewhere along the way, as the Old Testament people had looked down through the quarters of time, they had looked through it where the keyhole of prophecy, they saw a very limited view of what would take place. They knew the Messiah would come. He would set up a kingdom. They understood it to be an earthly kingdom, not the spiritual kingdom. And Jesus had already come. He had begun his kingdom, and he was establishing it, not in a sense of a kingdom where he would sit on a throne and people would come and serve him, and he would raise armies, he would throw off Rome. That wasn't the kingdom. He was establishing the kingdom of God in the hearts of men and women. He was establishing God as back into his rightful place and turning the hearts of the people back to God. It was just amazing what was taking place. But here's this man. I'm thinking maybe he's discouraged. Maybe he's depressed. Maybe he's in deep despair because of the outcome of life. I mean, you have been the man for a period of time and been traveling and preaching and sharing and having converts and doing baptisms, and all of a sudden now you're sitting in a maybe a 4x4 cell and you're sharing it with perhaps maybe a few others, and Lord knows what else is around you, the hygiene situation, the food situation. He's in jail and he's had time to think. And now he's asking the hard question, are you the one, or do we look for somebody else? If you look back into Matthew's gospel, the 3rd chapter, you find John coming out of the wilderness, and we've touched on this already, but he came out of the wilderness and he was preaching. And he was preaching a message of repentance. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And then he spoke through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make the way straight. Now, I think of John the Baptist, I'm thinking, there's a man that I wouldn't want as my pastor. John was not somebody with a filter. He was a man that told it as it is. And we like that at times. But you know, people who always say it as it is, eventually something they say gets to us and hurt us too. I have to laugh at my mom. She for health reasons, not able to get out to church. And she sits at home on Sunday morning and she listens to her TV pastors. I egg her on once in a while. It's just my nature. But she talks about, she said, oh, they really gave it this morning. And my mental image is my mom is sitting there in her chair watching this, and she's got the shovel. You know how it goes. I wish I had the over. But you see somebody with a shovel, and you're out, you're shoveling the snow, eh? So the preacher's preaching, and I see these people with deflectors on their shovel, and they're like, oh, that person needs that, and that person needs that, and that person over there needs that. And there's just constantly, you know, the preaching is hard and nasty, but they're just shoveling it because they don't need it. It's that other person. You know, eventually we have to come to reality is that none of us are perfect, and some point in time that the Word of God is going to speak to our own hearts. And God doesn't have to always have a nasty preacher in the pulpit to speak to us. I spoke the other Sunday about, I filled in Clown Point, and I was looking at Elijah when he was down in the wilderness, and he's up in the mountain, and he went through the earthquake, and he went through the firestorm, and he went through the windstorm. And God wasn't in that. And as he stood at the front of the cave, there was a still, small voice that called Elijah. And there's sometimes that God can speak to you in the quietest of ways. There's times that God can speak to you in just such amazing ways. But here in this time frame, God knew that he needed a man that was going to set a fire. And so he released John the Baptist. And this guy had been living as an eccentric out in the wilderness. He comes into town. He's wearing camel skin. He likes locusts and wild honey. A great diet. That would keep you thin if nothing else will. He comes into town and he starts preaching and he's telling them that God is about to come. The kingdom of heaven is about to establish, and you need to repent of what's going on. You need to change your ways. Israel was supposed to be a spiritual nation, but they weren't. It's like, you know, a number of years ago, Canada was called a Christian nation, but we're not anymore. We are a post-Christian nation. And we, as I forget what the number the pastor said this morning about people who attend church, and then you realize that there's a lot of them that are not Christian either. Our nation may have some Christian, built on Christian principles, but that has a past gone by us. And so we have a nation today as they had then, a nation that needed to hear from God. And John comes and he begins preaching. And he began to establish disciples. When people hear from God, they attract people. John had been in the wilderness, spending time with God, waiting on God, getting prepared for the time that he would be released to go forth and to minister what he needed to do. And when he came out of the wilderness and he had heard from God and he began to preach, people began to follow him. We need to pray for our pastor. As he is in his office, as he is traveling, as he is in a doing, going places, and that that he is protected in his mind and his spirit. And as God speaks to him, as we listen this morning, as he sees, has planted his vision for what he sees for our church this year, we need to pray for him that as he hears from God, it's going to impact the leadership and it's going to impact this assembly. We need to pray for him. We need to lift him up so that he is hearing from God. And as that result of that is, that comes through into us. And it's going to affect not just us, but people out there. There's something's going to begin to happen. As he walks by, there's something's going to begin to happen. There's a sense that man is of God. Let's pray for that, please. John had disciples. He also had a purpose. And he was here to tell people they needed to get things right with God. And he took that purpose and he ran with it. But we see about John as he ministers that he ran into an obstacle that he couldn't move. Every once in a while, you know, things don't always go the way that you wanted to go. And we look in Mark's gospel, the 6th chapter, along the way, John, that man that just said it as it was and said it as he saw it. You go down into verse 14 of Mark chapter 6. You follow that in your Bibles. I hope you brought them. It says, King Herod heard this, or you got your smartphone and you can look it up like I do in service. He said, for the name of Jesus was an all known, and some saying John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. And that is why he did all these miraculous powers that worked in him. Others said he's Elijah. Still others claimed he's a prophet. It's like one of the prophets long ago. You see, down in verse 17, Herod himself had given orders for John to be arrested and had him bound and put in prison. He did this because Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married, for John had said to Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Now, somewhere along the way, in the king's palace, the king Herod had looked at his brother, at his sister-in-law, and thought, she is a great-looking girl. I'm king, I'll have her. And he did. And what he did with his brother, I'm not sure, but he took his brother's wife. He was the king. And everybody knew what he did. The society, the country saw what he had done. And it wasn't a good thing to do. Didn't set a very good example. And John comes along and he confronts the king and he says, it's not right, it's not lawful for you to take your brother's wife. And I don't know, maybe Herod sort of like, we read there that he did like John and he had feared him in verse 20. He says he feared John and protected him knowing he to be a righteous and a holy man. So he maybe didn't like what John said, but he wasn't going to touch him because, this man is a man of God, and I can't do anything to him. But she was a different, whole set of different can of worms, so to speak. So John is in prison because he's spoken the truth, something that's not always appreciated. Along the way, as you walk with God, one of the things as you grow in grace, you also learn how to talk. And sometimes as new Christians, you know, we're like the little boy, that preacher's kid that used to come over and play with my younger brother. And this guy was sitting there in the back step one day at our place, and he was there. Dad was fixing his fishing rod. He was sitting there having a cigarette, and I can remember little Stephen walking up to him and looking at him and says, you're going to burn in hell. You're smoking. Remember back when we believed that? Yeah. Anyways, it was sort of funny, but the guy wasn't offended. He looked at the little kid and laughed at him and like, yeah, okay, go on, go play, and just ignored it. I have in my years of ministry found times sometimes Christians come across that way to the unsaved. We walk up to them with a judgmental attitude and we say something. And we don't use a lot of wisdom. And sometimes we need to prepare our hearts. We need to pray in our spirits and say, Lord, as I walk out the door today, as I go out into the world, if you want me to speak to somebody, just open the door, let it happen. Let me not be judgmental. Let me just be your hand extended. Somehow, Lord, can I just speak something for you today? And then just let God use you. Because he'll open the doors, he'll do that. So here's John. He had spoken the truth. The king didn't appreciate it. And now he's sitting there in the prison and he sends this disciples to Jesus because his faith is being stretched. God's not responding. He's not receiving. He's I think so frustrated there. It's like, God, why am I here? What's going on? Why are you not moving? And along the road in life, I have at times run into situations where I've felt like I've been spinning spiritually. Nothing taking place. How come, God? That learning to wait, be still and know that I'm God, that's so easy to say to people like, you know, just wait now. Jesus is looking after it and everything's going to be fine. Meanwhile, you're sitting there going like, yeah, it's easy for you to say. You're not in my situation. John was frustrated. Are you the one? And as he sits in prison, I wonder tonight, did he remember? Remember in John 3, it's recorded there in around the 28th verse. John was sharing one day about coming Christ, and John said, he must increase and I must decrease. Well, as John is sitting here and now in prison, I wonder if that went through his mind. I wonder if the Spirit would draw that back to him. John, do you remember when you said that when your heyday, that yeah, the one will come and he will be greater than me and I will decrease? Did you understand the decrease would be to the point that you now sit in a prison cell and you're not going anywhere? We all in our lifetime have a purpose and plan God has for us, and we go through things. God leads us, and sometimes the journey takes us in places we would least expect. Did John, I wonder, as he's sitting there in that room, forget what happened the day he baptized Jesus? Third chapter of Matthew, the Bible tells us that when John took Jesus down into the water, because first of all, he didn't want to baptize him. He didn't feel worthy to baptize him. He didn't feel that he had the ability to baptize him because he felt that he needed to receive from Christ. And yet Jesus said, no, it's going to happen. You're going to baptize me. And he goes down, as he put Jesus down in the water, and he begins to lift him up. There was a dynamic took place there in that along that riverbed, along the side of that lake or wherever it was. But the heavens opened, and the voice said, this is my beloved son. There was a sense of the Spirit in that place that day. It was just amazing. I think of all the baptisms that John did, he never had one like that. I would think that would stick out in his mind for years to come, that moment of time. But yet he's sitting in prison and he's wondering, is he the one? Is there somebody else to come? Did he forget that moment? I think sometimes we're prone to forget what God has done. I remember a lady in my home church years ago, she would sing a song, and she sang it out, sort of type of thing. But people would request it, and it words went, remind me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Humans are forgetful, and so Lord, just you need to remind me. And sometimes in life, we need to be able just to stop and to think back of what. Where we've been at, what has happened, what has God been doing? What has God done? God has done some amazing things in our lives. We have witnessed some amazing things in the lives of people around us. We have seen God do some awesome things. And then yet sometimes we'll sit there and go like, I don't know. Do you think God can do it again? Suppose God could do it again. We can enter despair when we can cry out to God, God, where are you? Jesus responds to John and sends a message back to him. A very powerful message. And he says, I want you to go back and to report to John what you have seen and heard. I want you to go back and tell him. Speak to him. You see, Luke chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, Jesus, when he had gone into the temple that day and read from the scriptures, he unfolded the scripture, Isaiah, that was handed to him. And unfolding, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And when he read it that day, the Bible says that he took the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And people's eyes were fastened upon him and began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And they were wild. It doesn't say that in the scripture there, but that's my translation of it. They were upset. Who is this guy to think that he can take that scripture and apply it to him? Now Jesus is saying to John's disciples, go back and tell him what you have seen and heard. Tell him what is going on. And Jesus begins to talk about what is going on. He had been healing diseased people. Sometimes we pray for people and you know, when there is excitement, there is a sense of things that are the emotion of the moment and that, and people will say, well, man, I feel good. Of course, you get that adrenaline rush and you can, you know, suddenly your knees are not as stiff as they used to be. I always like to say to people, let me know tomorrow what God has done. I'm not looking at right now. Sometimes it's very obvious, but sometimes we need to wait. Jesus begins to say, he said to them, he healed who people who had diseases. They had sicknesses that nobody could touch. No, they had sicknesses that no doctor could deal with. They didn't have the technology, they didn't have the medications, they didn't have the things, and people were suffering, and Jesus was coming along and healing them. I think of that lady who had the issue of blood, and she had been bleeding for years. And that day, as Jesus walks by, and she reaches out and she grabs the paraclete, and she touches him in the midst of the crowd, and suddenly Jesus sensed the virtue flowing through him, and he stops and he says, who touched me? And the disciples look at him like, oh, come on now. People are bumping and banging you, and you ask, who touched you? But he knew that woman had received something. It was an amazing healing. Evil spirits. There were people that were satanically bound, and Jesus was setting people free. And we've got people today, and there are people in our communities, there are people that we are coming in contact with, and sometimes we're wondering what's going on here. But there are people out there tonight who are bound in the occult, they're bound in the oppressiveness of sin, and they are in bad shape. They need deliverance in their lives. And somewhere along the way, sometime you may have the opportunity as something manifests itself. God is going to allow you to lay hands on that and deal with it. Be ready to do so, because God wants to use us in such manners. Then he says that there were people, he said, the blind are receiving their sight. And I was thinking about this morning. I was thinking of the guy who came to Jesus and he was blind and Jesus spit on the ground. Can you imagine? He spit on the ground and made mud. My poor mother-in-law would have a fit. But there was DNA in that mud. There was something that was more than just, as it were, spit. The one who did that had been there at creation when God had taken the dust of the earth and formed a man and breathed into the breath of life. And now he decides, let's just do something a little different. Let's take the dirt there and let's make mud. But his DNA was in the blood. DNA was in the mud. And he took the mud and he wiped it on the man's eyes. And he said, go to the pool and wash. There was a sense of, when he washed off, the Bible says he could see. And you think, why would Jesus do that? But sometimes we just got to stop and not ask a question about why is God doing things a certain way, but just accept what God is doing. There was dynamic DNA in that mud that went on that guy's face. People were hearing. Go back and tell John. He says, go back and tell him that the lepers are healed. When the lepers were healed, what did Jesus say to them? Go show yourself to the priest, because the priest was the only one who had the power to allow them back into the community. He was the only one who could let them in and had to pronounce clean. They were clean. The dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. And then he says this to John. Blessed is the man who doesn't fall away on account of me. Blessed is the person who doesn't get offended and mad and turn away. You know, sometimes we get lost in our own world of hurts and fears. When you harbor a hurt in your life, you make soil for bitterness to grow in. And on the road of life, I've met some pretty bitter Christians who's had hurts, who have had things happen to them, and never have allowed God to bring healing. Never seem to want to let go of that hurt and say, God, I need to walk in forgiveness. I need to let this thing die. I need this root of bitterness toil in me and let righteousness, let your glory, let your love grow in my life. But there are people tonight, and wow, it's embarrassing sometimes to be around them. Just when they open their mouth and they just spew, and it's just vile. The bitterness that's there. Why? Because it grew a hurt that was never dealt with. God help us to deal with those hurts. We get lost in our fears. Fear is it happens when we lose sight of God and we try to control. And we get into fear because we can't control things. And things are happening all around us. We need to have the help and the strength of God. So what is God doing? God's doing today some amazing things. I may not see it where I am, but I know it's happening. We live in a big world. We live in a world tonight where today thousands of people have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Today, when preachers have stood and shared, and men and women have shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, people have responded in masses of numbers. We may never know them on this side of heaven. But we get to the other side, we'll meet them. What is God doing? He's doing some amazing things. There were people today who were healed, people today set free. God's moving. Things are happening. We sometimes lose sight of that. God is doing some amazing things. But sometimes we've been sitting in our little prisons offended, saying, is this it, or are we supposed to be looking for something else? Do I go down the street to the next church because maybe it's a little more exciting there? When's the last time you prayed the prayer of Jesus when it comes to the church? What did Jesus tell us to do about the harvest? He didn't say pray for the lost, but he said pray that the Lord of the harvest raise up laborers. And I think when the church begins to grasp that concept of the Lord's Prayer, that so often we never really talk about, begin to grasp that, begin, Lord, raise up laborers. Lord, we begin to release God, release his harvest. And I think we'll begin to see people, they emerge that we never thought. Because I believe in order to do that, God has to anoint people with the gift of evangelism. When he gave the fivefold ministry to the church, and one of those things were apostles and prophets and evangelists. And we haven't seen the office of evangelists really being used. And I think because we've isolated it and made it high profile, big ministry. And God has meant it for the average person. He just wants to put an anointing on them and let them be evangelists. And they will just have that anointing to speak and share with people, and people come to the Lord because of that. The Bible tells us we're to walk by faith and not by sight. Smith Wigglesworth said, I'm not controlled by what I see or feel, but I'm controlled by what the Word of God says. Such a powerful thing to go by. So in conclusion tonight, God is moving. He's doing good things around the world. And we can be jealous, or we can be offended, or we can get on board and say, God, I know you're the one. We're called to continue and not give up. We're called as believers to get us back and remember what Jesus said to John. I am building my church. I'm doing things here, John. Don't fall away. Don't be offended. Blessed is a man who does not fall away on account of me. Was Jesus the one? Oh, yeah. He's still the one. Don't be offended. Don't fall away because your life right now is not going maybe the way you want. God is there tonight to do some amazing things if you let him. Father, I'm so glad that you are so powerful in what you say and do. And Lord, you are speaking to people in this room tonight, perhaps some people, Lord, that are quite frustrated where they are spiritually. In a time of wondering and just become complacent at times. And I just pray tonight, Lord, that you just speak to their hearts, Father. Speak to all of us, Lord, as we realize, Father, that we do go through discouraging times. We go through times when we are just, as it were, on the low side of life, and we're not hooping and shouting. We're not so excited. It seems like we're in that dry valley. We're in that dry time, and we're just wondering where things are at. But God, you're still there, and you're still working. Father, I just pray tonight, Lord, that there would not be despair, but, Lord, we would lift our eyes onto you, that we would, Lord, begin to gravitate around faith and begin to believe one more time. Begin to gravitate, Lord, to your word, gravitate to you in prayer, and wait upon you, Lord, and to seek your face till we hear from you one more time. We just thank you tonight, Lord God, that we can learn from men like John, men who were mighty and powerful, men who saw you do mighty things, and yet you showed the other side of them, Lord, the times when they were in down. And we can learn that for our own lives, learn from those experiences. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll just allow that tonight just to speak to your people, speak into our hearts. And we ask this in your name. God's people said, amen.